Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. And man, oh man, oh man, we got some fun things to talk about. We had a lot of Texan stuff to talk about. Had all the coaches yesterday doing interviews and some interesting stuff in there that we will get to along the way.
Position coaches, they don't talk much in a year. So you'll get You'll get Anthony Weaver this year. You'll get Tim Kelly. That's the new OC, the new DC. Well, Tim Kelly's kind of the new OC. He's a new play caller. But position coaches, linebacker coach, running back coach, special teams, O-line. It was like a D-line, linebackers across the board. There were position coaches, and they answered questions on Zoom conference, and it was good stuff. We have the pertinent stuff we will get to you. We don't really have sound bites from we have some of the press conferences that we have to cut up, but we have a lot of the position coaches. They didn't capture them for audio from an audio standpoint, but we do have the questions and their answers. And there's some interest. I mean, nothing groundbreaking, but there's some interesting stuff. Apparently, one of the things that caught my eye was that J.J. Watt, because of the pandemic, has nothing else to do but work out.
Yeah,
and that's their words, and they say he is a monster. Like he just looks. I mean, J.J. is always a monster.
No, so but I could see where he would be especially monstrous this year. Sitting at home. What is J.J. going to do if he's just sitting at home? His wife's in Chicago, right? Or was in the bubble.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. His wife's in the bubble. He's sitting at home. I mean, J.J. is just, let me get a weight out. J.J.
Thank God I got this giant tire in the backyard.
Thank God. Let me just jump on the tables all day.
Flip. No.
Right? He just jumps up standing.
Hey, you guys want to go? You guys want to hang out, socially distance, and wear masks? I guess, JJ, what are you thinking about doing? Do you want to go with Granada and those guys to Luling? No, absolutely not. I've got some cushions for my couch that I've stacked up to 60-inch box jumps. And I was thinking maybe we could do some 60-inch box jumps and then maybe just a tire flipping contest. I had a second one delivered. Maybe we can have races like relay races. Well, what else? I mean, there's sledgehammers. We can hit the tires also with sledgehammers and maybe just do burpees. You want to hang out and do burpees?
Yeah. That's what I want to do.
Sound awesome?
Right.
And then maybe aggressive stretching for an hour and a half afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stretching. I think I'm going to binge something.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to binge watch a show.
Fear City. That's what I'm doing next. No, I didn't start it yet.
I finished it. Guess what?
We're still on Queen of the South. We're going. It's getting pretty good.
I hesitate whether or not I should say anything that's kind of a
racist.
Well, no, a spoiler alert.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. They end up catching a mafia.
The what?
They end up getting a five. I mean,
no.
The bosses end up, yeah.
Well, what the?
I know.
Well, there was a discussion yesterday in the afternoon. Well, no, on the night show. The night shift.
The program late director? Hits. You're always listening to everything.
Late hits. Yeah, I was driving, and I was listening to the late hits. Aaron, and I had to text Aaron. Aaron, what are you talking about? Well, it's okay to spoil a movie, but I don't like when the Super Bowl is on and somebody gives the score. I'm like, you're watching the Super Bowl. What is wrong with you?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
What is that? Well, somebody tells the end of the Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Everybody watches the Super Bowl live, a movie you might not get to for months. What are you talking about, Aaron? I just got angry with him. Good Lord. And yeah, because Braddock and Patrick were just like, that's kind of what? Aaron, what? Yeah, I don't know. It's just, if you're game seven, you shouldn't give the score. What? The next day? Are you kidding? Really? Like, why would you wait? It's the Super Bowl. I mean, that's silly, Aaron. So I got a little angry with him.
You got a little angry.
And I had to tell him.
Had you had any pops?
Yeah, I had a few. I had a few.
I tell you, the famous story.
I don't like silliness when I'm drinking.
Sean, Sean Pendergast told me a story about one time where he and John were doing, John as in John Harris, were doing a show, and he said, I don't know what they said. They did something, and you called up from Nick's, just popped up. Hey, what are we doing with this thing? Huh? Get that off the air. He's like, I don't know if I should take this seriously. I don't know if John would say that like on a regular, like if this was just a Tuesday afternoon.
What?
He goes, this isn't Tuesday afternoon, John. This is Tuesday
late afternoon.
Early evening, John.
705.
Was it like that?
Oh, I think it was. No. Well, what? Goodness. I think I know what it was. It was their long intros. It was
their intros. I mean, 2 minutes long.
No, some were three, and I'm like, I think that was it. I called up. I said, dude, you got to cut these intros.
That might have been it. I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but it was their intros were like they would have to spend. I don't know if it was Kyle Manthe, their producer. I don't know who put it together, but it was.
I think that was it.
It took and like Sean was two like, hours we, to put
we,
the intro
yeah,
together.
We put a lot into it. I was like, no, but you're taking up so much of your talk time. With an intro that you're playing for the second time.
What if it's an inch? What do you mean for the
they
second time?
They played it at the beginning of the show, and then they would the replay intro? It later. Yes.
What if it weren't right from the intro into the break?
It seemed like it. It really did seem
it was
like
a long, it was creative, but it was a long
It was
long
very
intro.
Creative, but it was so long.
We up to this point, let's see. Let's keep going. We killed off the first 6 minutes without anything Astros.
I don't know.
Yeah, we had an argument about Edelman, about Hall of Fame.
Bill Barnwell has, and I saw it, and I went, what? He's got current players who will make Hall of Fame. Barnwell's predictions for all 32 teams. He's got a picture of JJ with the yellow jacket on. He's got Mahomes with the yellow jacket on. And he's got Edelman with the jacket on. What?
Edelman is one of those eyeball tests where you watch and you
Edelman
think
Edelman is not a Hall of Famer.
You watch. I'm not listening to any of the slander from Miami. I'm not listening to Miami Dolphins slander or Cincinnati Bengals slander from you.
Yeah, where's Joe Burrow on this list?
Yeah,
okay.
Notice he's not on there.
Eyeball test.
Eyeball test.
What? Get out of here with Edelman.
F out of here with Edelman. Okay? Edelman. He's 11 years in the league. He's got like 4 touchdowns.
It's embarrassing.
He sucks. Edelman.
You guys are so disrespectful. He's going to do a video about you, too.
Mm. Fine.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to come together. And I want
to
I'm going to take you out to my practice, and then we're going to go to your radio show.
Why would they put Edelman in there?
36 touchdowns over, what, 11 seasons? Get out of here,
Barnwell. Gronk hogged that man's touchdown.
So what? What
if you needed a big catch? If you needed a big catch, who'd they go to?
Gronk.
Edels?
Well,
Gronk.
It's funny.
It's
so funny they put Edelman's picture with the jacket on, yet in the story, they've got Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, because he knows better.
And he says still work to do. Julian Edelman, Dante Hightower, and Devin McCourty.
He's 33. How much
they
work?
Said still work to do.
Yeah.
See, that's that slanderous ass headline writer crap that they do. Where headline writers, they got us over here. So if you read the article, whoever wrote that, Bill Barnwell is going to go, hey, I got a little problem. He's going to go to his editor the same way I've had to in the past and say, what are we doing with these headlines? You guys put the Julian Edelman in there. I know. We knew it would stir up some conversation.
It did.
It's what it does.
It did.
I guess they're doing their jobs, I guess.
Even the still work to do. Yeah, like a whole different career? What do you mean still work to do?
You're so salty that he's better than Devon Best.
I don't care about that. He's got 36 touchdowns over 11 seasons. How much work will he have to do? Have a whole different career? Get out of here. Even the Bill Barnwell blurb is stupid.
The first 4 years, he's not going to. He's behind Welker, and they have one player at that position. They did not have small double slots at that time. So he didn't have much of a chance at all behind Wes Welker. I still think he is. I mean, Wes Welker was the number one guy for Tom Brady at that time. When you look at the stats, it shows that. Now, those players are not going to be the red zone guys. Even Wes Welker only had one double-digit touchdown year. Gronk was a touchdown monster the first year he was double digits. It is interesting, though, but this is a classic case, and this is in all honesty. I watched Julian Edelman, and I've always thought, man, Julian Edelman is really, really good. Julian Edelman, and he's a good receiver. But when you look at the numbers belie what you feel like you're seeing. 36 touchdowns, I knew it was lower because he just ran choice routes around the end zone. Like, his touchdowns would have had to come when they were inside of 6 yards. Frankly, they had to be at the 6-yard line or inside of that. That's where his touchdowns would come. Gronk got most of the rest of them. So I knew his touchdown totals weren't going to be high, but I also didn't realize that he really didn't get on the field. Like, he played a full four. They kept him for 4 years before they even went to him. Like, they must have loved him for him to sit there and play 4 years as a quarterback turned wide receiver. But his numbers are not nearly as spectacular as you think. They're not even close to Wes Welker's. Now, once again, there was no Gronk when Wes Welker was tearing it up. But yeah, it's not Hall of Fame numbers. It's not Hall of Fame numbers. And I'm not sure Eli Manning has Hall of Fame numbers. I've already made this point before.
No.
I mean, only because he's played a bazillion years. But the Super
Bowl. He's in New York for two Super Bowls.
I don't think Super Bowl should automatically get you entree. We don't do that with NBA championship rings for different
players.
Yeah,
but quarterback is a different position for
granted. That's true.
I mean,
doesn't your 16-game season matter at all?
Well, he's never led the league. When you look,
has he even made a Pro Bowl where somebody didn't opt out? Was there ever a time where you thought he was one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFC ever in football? Ever? I'm just saying NFC. Was he ever one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFC at any point during his career?
What has he led the league in?
Who?
Eli Manning.
Interceptions.
Yeah, he in three times he's led the league in interceptions.
In the 20s, right?
Well, 20, 25, and 27.
That's nice.
And then he also has led the league in long passes. He had a 92-yarder in 2010, and he had a 99-yarder in 2011. He had, game-winning drives led by quarterbacks. He led the league with six.
Because he's behind all the time.
Fourth-quarter comebacks in that same year, he had five. And sack percentage.
What year was that?
3.4% led the league.
That's a high.
Those are the eight things he's led the league in.
You don't want to lead the league in sack percentage.
No, 3.4%.
You don't want to lead the league in that.
What year was actually, that's the low. Sack percentage low.
How many sacks did he get?
Because he's had 5.6, 6.6, 7.5.
Oh, it's the low.
It's the low.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. But the comebacks, remember that he had the 1 year where he was, and they finished 9-7 in 2011.
That's great.
Yeah. And
yeah, I'm telling you, there is nothing impressive about Eli Manning at nothing. All. And New York loves him. Raiders fans love Derek Carr for some reason. Some fan bases just cut for players a little different. Before we get to a break, is that Shannon? Let's get Shannon here real quick about Julian Edelman, and then we're going to have to eventually address the Astros. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, I just wanted to say one thing. Roger Craig was better than Julian Edelman or any of those other Patriots. He has three rings, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Roger Craig was a running back, but...
Right. But he was a...
About the ring. Maybe that's the ring.
Yeah, the ring thing. Yeah.
He was also 1,000
right,
1 year.
Right. Now, that year that Eli finished, they finished 9-7, and Eli had five comebacks and six game-winning drives. They won the Super Bowl. So each of those were pretty damn important. That said, Eli's not a Hall of Famer. His numbers just aren't good enough. He's just not. Eli. He's just not.
I'm telling you, go look at the numbers. If you get away from the volume of years, he was never a great quarterback ever.
He's basically a 3-2, or even less than. It's even worse. The percentage is even 3-2 in touchdowns to interceptions.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's terrible. And, you know, his longevity, he played 16
games
every year.
Go look at contemporaries like Aaron Rodgers. Go look at, truly the best. The best quarterbacks in the NFC, name one single year he was one of the top three. A Hall of Fame, you should at least be one of the top three in your position in your conference.
His best year is 2015, and they went 6-10. He threw 35 touchdowns, 14 picks, over 4,400 yards, clear Pro Bowler, but the team was terrible.
Yeah.
And then they went 11-5 the next year, and he had a lesser season. So, I don't know. His best numbers.
His best numbers
didn't correlate
were after
to
his
wins.
First 10 years. He had a couple. I remember that he had a couple years where it's like, hey, Eli's coming around, and then it kind of fell back down. But
his record as a starter, what do you think it is?
And that was with OBJ.
His win percentage as a starter.
Maybe about 58%.
50 exactly. 117 and 117.
He's a 50% quarterback, yeah. A 500 quarterback with a 3-2 touchdown to interception. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, because I've gone through all these numbers before, and once you go pour through all of them, you realize this guy's not even close. He shouldn't definitely not be a Hall of Fame. That's why I always make this argument. People always bring up Super Bowl rings. That is the only argument you have for Eli Manning. He played for freaking ever, and at no point is he one of the best in the business at his position.
No.
At no point in football history.
Zero.
He's played a long-ass time.
0 points. 0 points in his career.
At no point.
And he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
No point did you say he might be the best quarterback in the NFC this year. Nope.
All I know is he was the best quarterback two times against the alleged GOAT. So I love me some Eli.
I don't know that he was a better quarterback that game. He had David Tyree catch a ball on his head.
Well, how many points did Brady score in those games?
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Brady wasn't good in those games either.
No, he was great.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. He had nobody around him.
Oh, he had Randy Moss on that team.
Yeah. Well, guess what? They weren't very good that year, the Patriots.
You mean the undefeated team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't very talented that year.
You're right.
715 ESPN 97.5. You know who's talented? The kids that are out there playing in the Constellation League. And it's fun. It's good, clean fun. Hey, you want to go? There's giveaways. There's fireworks and giveaways Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. All kinds of giveaways. All kinds of great stuff. Tickets start at just $9. Just 2,000 fans a night at the ballpark, thoroughly sanitized before each game. You got Team Texas, Kobe and Roger. They got a roster full of players from Texas University and especially the University of Texas. And you got 21 players that have reached the big leagues. 13 are former first-round picks. See professional baseball live and in person now through the end of the month. It is at Constellation Field. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. And you want to contribute? That's fine. Let's go. Lance McCullers looked awesome for the first three innings.
Three innings, he did, yeah.
Perfect. He looked perfect.
No-hitter?
Then,
did you jinx it? Did you say, hey, McCullers has a no-hitter? Did you tell somebody
No, I actually didn't tune in until the top of the bottom of the fourth inning.
It was way different.
It was whole. I was like, nice, Lance. 4-0. Damn it, I missed Tucker's homer. I loved Kyle Tucker. And then I saw Lance pitching in the fourth inning. Wow. It was like they had garbage cans or something.
They were banging
garbage cans.
That inning, the breaking pitch just wasn't sharp. He got the triple.
Left everything up.
Yeah, he hung that curve.
Yikes.
The triple, bases clearing triple.
I've always hated Cole Calhoun, though. I mean, I hated him with the Angels. I hate him. He's always been a thorn, that dude.
Well, he ended up giving up 8 earned runs. The bullpen wasn't much better. It was it was a bad. Now the offense was rolling, but it doesn't really matter since they had home runs by Georgie hit one. You had you mentioned Kyle Tucker had one. The Astros offense was fine. The pitching was really terrible, and this is one of the concerns. It's different. It's different than the Rockets, but similar in that if your top guy doesn't do really well, and this is whether it's, it's like James Harden, for example, James or Russ, the other guys, to me, Ben McLemore and Covington, those guys are the bullpen. It's kind of a similar situation. They can't win the games for you typically this year, I don't think. I don't think they're talented enough to win for the Rockets. You need your starters like James. You need James to be Verlander, and now, let's face it, Lance McCullers now has to be either Verlander or Cole. That's just how it is. That's who he's supposed to be. Unfortunately, the two guys who look like Verlander and Cole, well, that's not even fair to say. But the two top guys right now, it looks like, are honestly Fromber and Javier. I mean, those two guys look like Javier looks – it's with just two games. But, man, his stuff looks good. His location is good. Like, he looks like a good pitcher no matter who he faces. And he doesn't get rattled easily. Fromber has pitched way better than I expected.
Yep.
I've always been one of these, like, ugh, Fromber, Bomber, whatever.
What?
Yeah. I've never been a Fromber.
Fromber, Blomber.
But now I'm starting to get more Frombery. And if Urquidy, if they.
Get more Frombery. I'm not sure that's.
Bring
a
him
word.
Back at some point. I don't know if Urquidy is still with the team, if he's been traded, if he is designated for assignment. Is there anything new on Urquidy? Well, I know we've asked that now for two straight months. Anything new? Has he still got Corona? What is this? What do we need to know? I know he was supposedly cleared, but what can I get a Jose Urquidy update? Does anyone have anything?
Well, no.
As a matter of fact, yes. Hold on a second. There Wait. Are updates.
There's updates about Urquidy? Thank
yep.
God.
Let's see. We've got. Let's see. I'm not going to. Urquidy is preparing to throw a bullpen session in Corpus Christi, but is still a good ways away from returning.
Wow.
He missed all summer camp due to an undisclosed issue and thus was a few weeks behind when he showed up.
Damn it.
But the good news is Baker indicated that Urquidy is not anywhere close at this point. So don't expect to see him anytime soon.
That makes it a little bit more difficult for him to win the Cy Young.
This wasn't either. This was a really, really bad case of coronavirus, or it was something other than that.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. I would imagine it's, some coronavirus crap or something. And he might have been sick. We don't know.
Aledmys Diaz is a couple weeks away.
Oh, he'll play a game and then he'll go down again.
Jordan, who also missed summer camp due to undisclosed issues, was 10 days to 2 weeks away from being ready as of this past weekend. So, no problem there. Brad Peacock and Austin Pruitt are still working their way back. Devo and Biagini are probably out until next week. Yeah, don't worry about it.
No, this is just kind of
all injury, injuries.
Some of them are. Aledmys Diaz walk. He's the Will Fuller of the team. Well, Aledmys Diaz is always got a soft tissue issue.
Yeah,
always.
That's true.
And then. And then the other guys, I guess they're all, there's, I don't know, a lot of elbows this year. Well, that's because you didn't have a priest. No, they just got a lot of elbows, that's all. There's just a lot of elbow stuff.
Why are there a bunch of arm issues? Osuna, Verlander, right out of the gate?
They had time to throw. I
don't understand.
A lot of other pitchers are pitching. They're actually pitching. When they asked early on, well, look at Verlander and Kershaw down and Kluber's down. Well, yeah, and?
But
Kershaw's a back. He's always had a back issue.
But do you ever remember? Yeah, but the question is.
But he's had a back issue before. It's not just this year.
Do you remember ever in Major League history? That many scratches. Verlander, of course, got to make his first start. Kluber was a scratch. Kershaw was a scratch. And then you have Verlander after one. Between starts, he got... I never remember seeing this early in the season. Never. In all my years of watching baseball, I never remember seeing big-time pitchers like this.
Really?
Gone already.
No. I don't know. I'm sure we could find one big-time pitcher.
Or after one game?
Yeah.
That's a lot. I don't understand. I'm kind of with you. There must be something to it.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that, we've had issues before, health issues, and we've wondered what the hell's going on here.
Didn't you say that you had talked to somebody who thought there would be some players who just kind of looked for a way out? I'm not saying that Kluber, number one ace type guys are those guys, but who just looked for a way out, just hit the, who just ended up hitting the DL, basically the injured list, and just shut it down so they didn't have to play.
Someone who shut it down just so yeah.
No,
Yeah, yeah.
You had somebody tell you that, right?
Yeah.
They just shut that. There'd be players who shut it down because they still got paid.
Yeah, well, and that's what. And look at the NFL is worried about that with guys. They're trying to get contracts done. Today's the deadline that you can opt out, but the rookies are not playing because they're like, I can collect $150 here and I'm making the team. Yeah, I'll do that right now. I'll collect $150,000.
Steven Guidry from the Cowboys. Yeah. That guy probably wasn't going
to
make it.
And he's got to, you know what he's got to do, Lance? He's got to pay it back next year if he doesn't make the team.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Good luck collecting that.
That money's going bye-bye.
Good luck
collecting that. How is he going to pay back $150,000?
Well, guys are working the system. They're finessing the game.
Well, it ain't going to be such a finesse when they got to go take out a loan.
Yeah.
That's going to be a disaster. Oh, my God. Rookies, you have to keep the rookies on the team.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you don't have to, but, I mean, undrafted free agents, they're not getting paid. You're talking about only draft picks.
Right, correct. Me and Aaron are going at it, Aaron, from the Blitz.
Why are you going at it with Aaron? Have him call in.
Well, I'm like, Aaron.
Have him call in.
It's the Super Bowl. Everybody's watching. Well, what about nurses and doctors and EMTs?
Have him call. Yeah,
you are
right.
None of those things, Aaron. You are none of those things.
First responder.
So you're
like a first responder.
Your response to the question was ridiculous.
No, he's not. He doesn't work on Sundays.
Producers
not at home.
Are like
not
a first
during the Super Bowl.
You can watch the damn game while you're producing.
You try to rescue him sometimes. You have to rescue him.
Aaron, you are none of those things.
But I wouldn't be a first responder rescuing John. I'd be like, well, I'll get there when I get there.
Right. I'm sure he'll be fine until after the game.
I'm not rushing to rescue him.
Yeah.
I'll get there when I get there.
Listen. If Dell was my EMT, I'm going to want my last rights. Okay.
But it depends on what happens. Like, if something serious happens, but if he fell and he cracked his head because he was drinking too much.
What if you had dislocated his shoulder?
Well,
doing
then,
what?
Then, what if I tripped over a curb? Then what?
That's pretty
serious.
Well,
it depends if he lied about why you tripped over. If you lied and say you're chasing a robber,
you
I'd be like.
You can't prove it.
I could prove it.
You can't prove it.
There are witnesses. People would be able to say, hey.
There were no witnesses. I was looking around hoping, God, I hope no one. Even with my arm out of the socket, I looked like. Well, I'm also going, because I had my air knocked out of me, breath knocked out of me, too. And I'm like, and the rain's pouring down on me, and all I can think is, please don't let anyone have seen this. Please don't. I don't want anyone coming to my rescue. And all I could think of, my wife's out jogging, so she's caught in this rainstorm, and I'm thinking, I really am just sitting here laying in this bush with my arm out of socket with nothing. I have nothing. And Snacks comes out. Can I help you up? Of course you can't. You're tiny. So, no, you can't help me.
You wouldn't even let him hold the ladder, so that's what you get for all that.
You know he was thinking that, like, I told that dumb.
You're arguing with a producer from the Blitz about whether you can tape.
He wants it. He's okay with. Listen.
Is that what's going on?
So, well, they asked, when's an appropriate time to talk about a movie and a movie's ending? And they were like, well, I guess when it's out of the theaters. I guess you can't. Spoiler
tell
alert.
Tell him to call in.
And Aaron was like, I don't care if I hear the end of a movie, but I sure don't want to hear the end of the Super Bowl.
Why don't you save it? Save it.
What?
Save it for a break. We got a break. Why don't you save it and have Aaron call me?
It's even more ridiculous today than it was yesterday. I don't want to hear any more of it. I will have no more of it.
I don't think it would be better with Aaron on. I think it's better for John to yell at Aaron through text and then recite what he's yelling about.
Yes, yes.
You think that's better?
Yes.
I'd rather hear the argument back
no.
and forth.
No, not me.
That's better radio.
It's silly. No, the whole thing is silly, and it's bad radio. It was bad radio last night, and it's bad radio today have someone say it's okay to talk about a movie right after you see it when it's in the theaters than it is to talk about the Super Bowl.
I just want John to yell at Aaron through the mics. That's all. I want to hear that.
7:30 ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.7 ESPN 97.5. Did you watch? I was watching the OKC, the Oklahoma City Laker game last night.
Ooh, the Lake show's struggling with some offense. Right?
They're struggling with some offense. They don't have anything to play for. They already clinched.
You play to win.
Did you see the business? No.
Cover points.
Did you
spreads?
See? That's it. That's why the Rockets got them tonight. That's a go. I mean, that was so silly not to bet Oklahoma City last night. The business decisions that LeBron and Anthony Davis were making, there was a loose ball went right by LeBron's feet. He was just looking at it and just went, nah, cuz. I ain't doing that.
Nah, cuz.
Nuh-uh. He was like, they made some rebounding, loose balls, no, blocking out. We ain't doing all that. Wait, who cares?
All right, I got the
number
here.
I think the Lakers in the last maybe two games of the bubble before they start the playoffs, okay.
Yeah, but they're not trying to play bad.
No, but they don't care. They're the number one seed. They clinched already.
I would say this is a very, if they are not clicking because they don't feel like they have anything to play for, that is a very dangerous mindset heading into the playoffs. Because flipping switches is not always that easy.
But again, they have another four games before they go into the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't understand. They got their ass kicked yesterday. And every once in a while, that'll happen. So maybe that was just one of those games. But
no, honestly, they didn't care.
And Oklahoma City, actually, what a great job Donovan's done. Holy crap. That's a really, really good
job.
Well,
he was co-coach of the year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Budenholzer on him.
And he should be.
Yeah.
And he should be because... And it just
no, really. That usually when you exceed expectations like that...
Yeah.
Because the Bucks were going to be good. We knew that.
Yeah.
When you exceed expectations like he did, he should have been the coach of the year.
He's an interesting, you know, people in Houston may not care about the storyline, but watching Billy Donovan and his ascension, you know, from during his career, where he is now versus his college days and won a national championship and all, like,
he's a good coach.
Donovan has been a really good coach. He's a really good coach. He gets guys to play for him. And I think the best thing is, I think this is an interesting, I don't want to say an indictment of Russell Westbrook, but it is curious that they lose all the... Russell Westbrook was not... I think when Russell Westbrook is your primary number one guy, he's just too erratic. He's just too erratic. When he is matched as a number two or a co-number one, and you don't have to lean on him as heavily, there is... I mean, I think he definitely can add more value when he's next to a James Harden, as opposed to when he's his own guy. Because, yeah, the stats are going to be there, but there's diminishing returns with that inefficiency and all those turnovers. And it is just really, really – I think it also speaks to Chris Paul, too. Chris Paul – we saw Chris Paul played for the Rockets, and Chris Paul – and the Rockets had their best – had a 65-win season, their best in franchise history. I'm a big Chris Paul truther because Chris Paul – is a pro's pro and always has been. And there's something about Chris Paul on a roster that gets guys to play to their potentials. He obviously has some postseason stuff that people are going to point to, and that it is what it is. There's nothing he can do to get away from it. But you look at the success that he had in season with the Clippers, a short time with the Rockets, at least in year one, year two, we know there was injuries. It was a big problem. And then since he got traded, it's like, man, this year we kind of expected – and that's a dumpy contract that he's got. No one likes that contract. But I thought Chris Paul looks like he was headed down, and Chris Paul really stepped back up this year.
Hey, here's the thing about it is, would both teams make that trade again? The answer is absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. Well, the Rockets had no choice because they couldn't.
I just wish they wouldn't
have lied to us. Those two couldn't stand each other.
That whole line still sits bad with me, with the Rockets coming out and blatantly lying about Chris. Oh, everything is fantastic. James just said, I know what we got to do. Right after the game, James Harden was telling you, without mentioning Chris Paul's name, he was very cryptic with, I know exactly what we need to do to get better. I know exactly what we need to do. I'm like, hey, remember that time that James is yelling at Chris Paul on the bench also? James just doesn't want anyone to be the boss of him.
Nope. That's why he loves D'Antoni. That's why he loves Russ. That's why he loves Daryl.
Yeah.
Now, Tillman, I think he and Tillman may clash at some point.
At
some point.
But Chris Paul wants to be the dad.
Yeah, Chris Paul does. I mean, he left again. Chris Paul had about as efficient game as you possibly. He was 8 of 12. He 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He was plus 25. He had 21 points. He got to the bench, and they ran a play. And Chris Paul is standing there putting his shirt out, and he's yelling at the floor. They were up by 15, and he's yelling on the floor with about 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left in the game. And I'm like, that dude's just intense. Yeah. No wonder he couldn't get along with James. No wonder he couldn't get along.
Yeah.
But the question is this, for a little side action. Rockets tonight in a back-to-back. After
there's no number yet. Not the side I'm looking at.
After getting their ass kicked last night by the Thunder, they're not. I think this is a shiva-getter game. They don't. Their shiva-getter's broke in L.A. right now. They've clinched.
Oh, you think the Rockets might still catch them sleeping?
Yeah, because they got four games left. You know, we'll start it up with a couple games left.
This is a prime. Let's sit AD and LeBron. Yes, game.
That's probably why there's no number up yet.
Yeah, I would be. I'd be looking.
Oh, because it is back to back.
It's back to back.
You're right.
Yeah,
with that's nothing to play for. Right, this is a perfect time to sit your two guys.
So let's see. I want to see. Maybe mine does. Does your where are you? I'm on my bookie.
I'm looking at two different places, and it's neither one has a number.
No.
They only have New Orleans. They have Pelicans, Kings.
This is impossible to put a number on because you don't know who's going to play.
Yeah. This may be a Dion Waiters game, which generally
those are good games.
If I said
no, they're not.
Oh.
If I said Rockets minus eight, which way would you go?
It all depends on who's available.
Rockets minus eight?
Yeah.
Oh, without LeBron.
Well, you've got to fit. You know, suppose LeBron might play. I don't know. No one knows, but I doubt it. I highly doubt
it. In a back to back.
Which is why they can't put a number on this.
Okay. Rockets minus eight, I take the 8 points. I'm not laying Rockets eight against
the Lakers. Against Deion Waiters?
Well, it's not like he's the only. Was Anthony Davis?
No, he's not going to play. But, dude, in a back to back when you've already clinched, why would you play either of those guys?
Yeah, I guess it really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Uh-uh. I mean,
they played 30 and 29 last night.
I mean, because you're competing against James and Russ. Like, I still feel like...
What does that mean to the Lakers?
I guess it doesn't mean anything. I guess I'm just built to be a champion, and you guys aren't. All I can think of
what's
is...
He talking about?
Yeah, I want to win that game.
What's he talking about?
I want to win that game.
You're built to be a champion.
You know what? Yeah.
You can't even walk. I want to win that champion.
Yeah, but I still keep grinding.
You fell off the first step of a ladder.
Yeah, who doesn't have a sling anymore? Look at this.
Built to be a champion.
I'm not going to reach behind me too far, but I'll reach in front of me because I was already leaping past what they told me to do, like... Don't do this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well,
I'm sure you're way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, you're way, yeah.
This man can't even do household chores, but he's built to be a champion.
You're not keeping me off the microphone.
You remember that time you locked yourself in your own house?
Shouldn't get out? Remember?
No. What are you talking about?
Built to be a champion.
Oh, when I had the double lock.
Couldn't find the key. I can't get out. He's texting us. Well, I can't get out of my house.
Built to be a champion.
So that's,
unlock the door.
That's different. Yeah.
How is it different?
Yeah.
That was when we
remember
had
when Lance got locked in his
bolts.
Car?
Those deadbolts.
Remember when Lance got locked in his car? Liars. And he couldn't hit. Lance, press that button. Lance, that button right there. No. The other one. That's the window.
The one with the unlocked.
The window's already down, Lance.
Let's not play.
The window's already down, Lance. Press the other one.
We might accidentally get tired or something.
Tired.
All I'm thinking about is trying to be a champion.
You couldn't even get. You wouldn't be able to.
See James take it back to back off. Championship caliber player.
Oh, he's never won one.
Yeah,
championship DNA.
LeBron's not. It's James that's the caliber.
You wouldn't. You know the problem with Lance is he wouldn't be able to get out of his hotel room to get to the bubble. Like. What? How many locks do I have to use to get out of this room?
I know how to get out of lock.
Championship
I tried
level.
To pick a lock one time, it didn't work.
If there's another Lord of the Rings movie and JG can't go opening night, you better not say a damn word. You better not. Well, why would you talk about a movie?
Yeah, that's just...
No, you. That's movies are spoiler alerts. Games aren't.
Yeah,
you talk about the game the next day.
That's D-bag behavior, spoiling a movie.
And you know what? Okay, so what did they say then? About, like, what is the amount of time for a movie?
They said when it's out of theaters.
When it's out of the theaters. I guess when you...
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, if some people watch on... I watch a lot of movies on demand.
But if you're so upset that someone spoils a movie, you probably should have watched it in the theater because, you know, you got upset about it.
So all bets are off for any shows that show up on streaming as binge shows, meaning everything has been released. That's all bets are off on that.
Well,
even if it's the first or second day it's been released,
well,
they're all bets
different.
Off?
That's different.
I think it is.
Yeah, I don't think you talk about... Well, we talked about Game of Thrones the next day.
But we know that's an event-type show.
Yeah.
We would tell people...
That's like a super.
It.
That's like a big football game.
But that is considered spoiler alert. It's the same.
But we tell people...
Well, I'm sure a lot of people tuned out, but we saw our numbers on the stream skyrocketed after Game of Thrones nights and Rockets playoff nights.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like John said, Game of Thrones became a Super Bowl level event almost. So Everyone was watching, at least who was listening to this show pretty much. So, and people who didn't watch it were kind of lost, but they didn't care because they weren't watching it anyway.
Right.
So we didn't spoil anything for them.
Right, right. Braddock said last night, he said he didn't watch his first Game of Thrones until season 7 was out.
Oh,
he said how dumb he was.
I talked to everyone, like, I know Christine Weems, who I know, she just started, and it's so funny, people who just pick it up, who start to make comments about, I cannot believe what just happened with the slavers, and then she burned them up with the dragon, like... Oh, yeah, I remember that when the dragon... Oh, my gosh, when the dragon was tied up with the chain and the little baby dragon, like, oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe what happened with this Tiger King guy. What? Hey, you're way behind.
Yeah,
just catch up.
But I know some Game of Thrones people, a couple, and I read one article about a guy who didn't watch it at all and then binged all of it before the season finale. He spent 2 months binging all of the entire one. And he talked about the benefits, and one of the things that he didn't get, he said that's underrated, was, and that we miss now, we don't really get this anymore, is the buildup all week when, like, you can't wait for a show. There's something that quenches a thirst. When you know that you can just go to the next one, next one, next one, you just kind of churn through it. Yes, the advantages are going season to season. You don't forget stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's fresh in your mind. But the disadvantage is you don't ever have that where you're all excited and you get to talk about an episode with people or your friends or whatever. You got, hey, what about when this happened? Like, that's gone.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Lamont says, I'll go out on my way to spoil movies and shows to people who get online and say, don't spoil me. Of course you do, Lamont.
I've had somebody.
That's you, Lamont.
That's you, Lamont.
You would do that.
That's your kind of, I spoiled Harry Potter at 6:10 one time where I said, and Dumbledore dies. I just said it. Just because I was being a jerk.
What's the matter with you?
I said it on here. You're
so mad at me.
Your Avengers movie one of the movies?
You guessed it. I just guessed it. That Iron Man.
Iron Man's going to die. And Raheel was like.
I haven't seen any of those.
Raheel was like, what the? I said, what?
Well, he didn't know.
I don't even know.
He just happened to be right.
Oh, now you just confirmed it. Congratulations. Iron Man dies, everybody. Who cares? It's a stupid cartoon show. 745 ESPN, 97.5.
You were a Lord of the Rings fan. That's a cartoon.
It's never going
to... Stop. Don't even compare Lord of the Rings to your little Marvel stuff.
Hearing John like it.
You know, Balrog, Balrog is a computer-generated thing, right? You know that's not a...
No.
Yeah.
Really? You've never seen a Balrog?
No, I haven't.
Okay, maybe go out someday and not take a nap every day.
Where do you see a Balrog?
I've seen him.
Where?
Okay.
Where?
I saw him with Gandalf.
Oh, yeah, okay, so did I.
And guess who wasn't passing? The Balrog.
He shall not pass. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Guess who wasn't passing?
745, ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about my peeps over Champion Energy. Like Lance said, he's got championship DNA. You got championship DNA if you go to champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. Love those guys. And you'll love them too. All you got to do is sign up, and I'm telling you, you're going to be saving money. You will love it. I just got my bill, as a matter of fact, and I was like, whatevs. I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared. I used to be scared of my bill. I can tell you that. It was horrible. Well, now, guess what? It's wonderful. And, well, this is 10 years of wonderfulness. So if you're looking for that, and I'm never going to leave Champion Energy. Locally owned and operated, the best in service. It's all at champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
I 748 ESPN 97.5. Talking about Fear City and Paul Castellano getting whacked in front of the steakhouse. I know that. You watch Making of the Mafia, and you learn all kinds of good stuff.
The wife and I went to a new close. When I got married to my wife, we were going to go to... Well, no. It wasn't right after. It was like the year after we got married. We were going to go to New York, and our guy Close, who used to live here, he was from New York. He lived here during, for quite a few years, and he said, you got to go to Sparks' Steakhouse. It's where Castellano got whacked. I said, what? Whoa. Is it safe?
Well, yeah, it's safe. Yeah. Not everybody gets whacked every day they there. Who's gonna whack a zero line?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean people are getting whacked there. He's like, no, it's in like 80.
Paulie Z.
It's like
we gotta get Lancey Z.
Well, I have been called Paulie Walnuts for having the gray on the side too, like Paulie Walnuts. Uh-huh. But he goes, no, it's great. They roll the cot out there with the steaks on it. You pick your own steak. It's unbelievable. So I went, you know, me and the wife went there. It's like 2003. And we went at 2003, 2004. So we went to Spark Steakhouse, which is right outside is where Castellano got whacked. He and his driver. But it was good. It was the giant, you know, the giant steaks. I mean, they do that here. You see it at Pappas Brothers and other steakhouses too, where you get to pick your steak. But but it was kind of neat going into so this used to be a mobbed up steakhouse. I don't know if it was mobbed up, but.
Well, they just decided that's a good place. Paulie Castellano was going to dinner there. We know he's going. Like you said before, they I don't care. I'm going there. And the place was wiretapped and all the kinds of stuff. They're going to their places.
They had a social club where they actually found a wire. They cut the wire and they kept going back to the same place. Don't you realize that they wired it because they know you go to that same social club
so
every single time?
So like, what?
We're not leaving. The gravy's too good. The clams with white sauce are too good. We're not leaving.
The peppers, sausage and peppers. We got to have them. Hey, listen, there's all kinds of clubs.
Mafia Kingfish, Carlos Marcello. I remember reading that book way back in the day. Buffalo Jimmy, who ran the pool hall where I used to hang out, Beefalo said, he goes, Kerwin, you know, you heard of Carlos Marcello? I'm like, uh-uh. He goes, Mafia Kingfish, read it. So I read it. He goes, and I said, yeah, holy crap. I was reading that about Carlos Marcello. He goes, yeah, well, one of his guys comes in here all the time. And then he told me who it was. Like, that's one of his guys? He goes, yeah, I'll make a big deal about it. I'm like,
no.
Trust me, I'm not going to make a big deal. I was like, what do you do? Do you have to give him free food and drink? He goes, no, I'm trying to run a business. He doesn't get anything free. He goes, except unless I bring some free stuff in because we're playing 24-hour one-pocket tournament. You know, there's a 24-hour one-pocket game where there's action going on there. Like, it was the best. You would have loved this pool hall. Two guys would just start all of a sudden a game where, you know, okay, we're just going to play one-pocket. And so two guys would play one-pocket. They'd be playing for 24 hours. There's side bets. Then one guy would find out another guy had side action, so he dumped the match and split the profits with the guy who had side action with somebody else. Like, it was scumbag stuff going on.
Great stuff. What is something scumbag?
I loved it. It was unbelievable. They would bet on the over under, I think, was 6.5 or 7.5 peanuts, where you put the quarter in and you twist the thing, like the MM machine. And they'd have $10 and $20 bets on how many peanuts would come out. They had Cubs games, bets. You know, if there were home runs, they'd have to get weather reports. And then there was something, although that was giving out free drinks, but backroom card games. That's where I learned to handicap football from a guy named Pete Parmalee. Taught me how to, was the running back from the Dolphins also named Pete Parmalee?
Bernie
Parmalee. Yeah, that's right. So Pete Parmalee taught me. He had been with Freeport MacMoran as a president of finance, and then they kind of let him go because he was just at the end, kind of golden parachute out.
Let me ask both of you a question.
Yeah.
In your lives, how many guys do you think you've come in contact with who most people would consider scumbags?
Like, John's got a higher
percentage. I got a much higher percentage.
Scumbags.
And not just come in contact.
Oh, my God. You didn't know me when I was young.
Yeah, I mean,
all my friends were scumbags.
Yeah, I can't even. Most of the ones I would say, I mean, there were some in Richmond Rosenberg growing up, but a lot of them, I hung out at three different, every pool hall that Buffalo Jimmy opened was full of scumbags. Whatever I was handicapping, that's, you know,
people,
you're going to run into some there too.
People your wives would not allow in their houses.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Look at John.
So when we first
started going out, I took my wife to Chicago, and actually we got engaged in Chicago, and I brought her to meet my friends that growing up, and she was like, wow. She was like, and that was the last time we saw those people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
That's 25 years ago.
You let your wife come between you and the other animals?
No, the animals. I hadn't seen the animals anyway, but I brought her there and I said, hey, you got to meet some of the guys I grew up with. And it was rough.
All right, let me flip it.
It was rough.
let me flip it. What would happen if just pick any of your three gang members from the animals? Any three.
They're a social club, not gang.
I'm sorry, your social club. Have your... That's right.
Uh-huh.
You're always a social club. Pick any three. Now take them into the place where you live right now and let them walk around and then go into one of your bathrooms. And what are they going to say when they see where you're living and they see all the decorations? Are they going to...
They're going to say, what the...
What happened to you, John?
Where'd you get all this stuff?
What is this? What are you, Queen of England?
Hey... What are you, a half a... What's all this stuff?
He'd be called a half of something, yeah.
Get a half a... This chair is so curvy.
Yeah.
What's
with all the gold? I'm going to take some with me.
When's high tea?
Just real gold? Is this real gold that's right here? You guys want some sugo? And you're going to try to fool them with, I still make sugo, guys. I need with your sugo.
What's your organic?
Give me some.
What's your organic sugo?
Give me some, but we're leaving. Let's
go. Is that organic?
Let's go to Luling's.
Yeah, organic.
Say, let's get out of here. Let's go to Luling's. Yeah, it's too fancy in here. We got to go.
Is Luling's a barbecue place or a social club? I feel like it's a social club for you and your buddies.
Yeah. It is a social club. It is. It's
See,
very
and
nice,
that's
very
kind
nice
of like
people.
The new animals.
We play cards in there, put a little gin.
It's the new animals.
No.
Play the numbers.
Yeah. 755 ESPN.
Is there any gambling that happens
I get uncomfortable talking about this.
He doesn't want to talk about
it. Is there any gambling that happens in your new social
club?
No,
sir. No, sir.
There's no gambling? There's no...
No, sir.
Really? Is there any drinking?
No. Yes, of course. It's a bar.
That's not illegal.
Yeah, that's not illegal.
Yeah.
There's no whatsoever. No illegal activities whatsoever.
Does anyone come down and put a sack of coins on the table?
You're asking too many questions.
Yeah. What are you? What are you writing a book?
I just took down a score, Mr. Granato.
Keep me out of this chapter.
What are you?
Did he ever bring in a sack of money from one of the pay meters? Like, I just took down a score. What?
You either rat or the feds. Which one are you?
Yeah.
You asked too many questions.
Yeah. Well, it's not a need to know, and you ain't. You don't need to know.
No, not at all.
756 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. There's a lot of, I'm telling you right now, over there, my boys. As a matter of fact, Jeff Aronoff, I was just with him the other day. He said he is getting a new truck. Chad just got a beautiful, beautiful F-150 over there. The red one with the black. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. He had everything. I got the Expedition. I mean, it is all the guys. Dana's driving the Explorer Sport, which is beautiful. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, and this is the best time to do it because of the interest rates, when you can go 7 years, 7 years, 6 or 7 years with interest-free payments, that's ridiculous, people. Do you know how much money you are saving? And when you can spread it out that long as well, then you can make those payments, those monthly payments go down too. Where it's like, wow, this is so, I'm driving such a nice car for so little right now. And they'll bend over backwards. They'll do everything. They service it. They're fantastic, fantastic people, fantastic service. It is a dealership that's been around since 1933. So you know that they do it right over at Chastain Ford. You can buy online as well. They'll deliver the car. You can test drive it without even going to the showroom. This is all happening at Chastain Ford. Get there now. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.